In this video, I'm not only gonna explain what natural family planning is, I'm also gonna explain how it actually works. And more importantly, we're gonna take a look at why we wanna use natural family planning against artificial contraception. What are the benefits of natural family planning, not only to myself, not only to the couple, not only to society, but spiritually? So I wanna make it very clear that you don't have to be perfect to learn about this. I'm not teaching you natural family planning and what God's plan is for your sexuality and for your marriage and for your family because I'm perfect and because I wanna judge you or because the church is judging you or condemning you, because that's not the case at all. I want you to know about natural family planning because it's God's way and it's gonna make you happier, it's gonna make you healthier, it's gonna make you holier. If He created you and He's designed you in the way the longings of the human heart work, it's only gonna work. Your love life, your sex life, your relationships, they are only gonna work if you do it God's way. And if you can bring this into your family, if you can start living natural family planning now, I guarantee you it'll change your life. If human life is sacred, if there's something very special about a human person, if it's not okay for me to abuse you and impose on you and treat you like garbage, well, it's not okay because humanity is special. You have a special dignity. I have a special dignity. Every person, their heart deserves to be respected. Their rules, their wishes should be respected. What is it that gives us this dignity? What is it that gives us this special place in the world that makes you so special, that makes you, you have these inalienable rights? Where does these come from? Well, these come from God. We're made in the image and likeness of God. Now, what does that mean? I'm made in the image and likeness of God. Well, what is God's image and likeness? Well, we know that God is love, but it's not God is love in this pious, flowery, politically correct, abstract sense of love where we just, oh, I love you, I'm gonna let you do whatever I want. You know, why doesn't God give me everything I want? He loves as He loves me. That's not the love we're talking about. Real love is sacrifice. So if you're in a relationship with somebody and you want to know if they love you, how do you know if somebody loves you? How much are they willing to sacrifice for you? How much are they willing to sacrifice for your good? How much does my mom love me? I know my mom loves me. How do you know your mom loves you? I know my mother loves me because she sacrifices for me. You know somebody loves you when they're willing to sacrifice. The more they're willing to give up, they're willing to give their whole life. That's why in the scripture it says, no greater love has a man than to give his life for his friends. Well, guess what? No greater love has a man than to give himself chastely to his bride. All right, so let's start looking at the image of God. What is this image of God? Well, it's love, yes. Sacrificial love, definitely. But it's a life-giving communion of persons. That's what it means to say that God is love. Well, He's this life-giving communion of persons. The Father is giving Himself completely. He's not holding anything back from the Son. He's giving all of His love to the Son. And totally, freely, faithfully. What did Jesus do to show us that He loves us? What? He gives us His very body and blood, soul and divinity, dead there on the cross. And how did He give Himself to us? Did He do it against His will? No. He did it freely. He did it totally. He did it fruitfully, to give us new life. We're going to see how fruitfully. The Son receives that love and gives Himself back to the Father completely. And the love between the two are what? They are third person, the Holy Spirit. And this is just like an infinite love union. It's just this life-giving communion of persons. And so when we say that we're made in the image and likeness of God, what does that mean for me to say that I'm made in the image and likeness of God? When God created Adam, He breathed into him His spirit. So that means God put in us a spirit that reflects that He's what? A complete gift of self. So free, total, faithful, and what else? Fruitful. So God put this in our hearts. So our human hearts are empty and they long, and there's always this longing, and it'll never be satisfied until we're in heaven. But here on earth, where do we begin to get a sense of fulfillment, a sense of joy, a sense of love? It's when we give ourselves completely for the good of another person, when we're sacrificing, when we're out there, we're donating our time at the soup kitchen, and we're giving of ourselves for another person, and I'm doing this freely. And not only that, it's life-giving. It's helping these individuals have a better life, helping them sustain their life, helping them enlighten them when you're teaching somebody something new that they never knew before. It's fulfilling. And that's the image of God inside of us, that He put this spirit within us. And it's those times where we're selfish and we're taking, and that we feel the most empty. Now, He didn't just put this spirit, this self-giving love within our own hearts. He's also created us physically in this image. Our bodies resemble this ability to give myself freely to somebody else, to give myself entirely to somebody else. And God stamped this image and likeness into our very bodies, in the male body and the female body. When you put them two together, what do? When the man gives himself completely, when the woman receives this and gives herself back completely, they're open to life. And guess what? I'm giving myself completely, faithfully, totally. I'm giving everything that I am right here in my body. This is all I have, and I'm giving that to you. Well, that's what? That's the marital embrace. That's why when a man and a woman go to the altar to get married, they say, have you come here freely? Yes, I've come here freely. Oh, for better or for worse, from sickness and in health, for poorer, for richer, for ugly or for not so ugly, for getting fatter or not getting fatter, for being annoying and not cooking dinner properly and not washing my clothes properly, for washing my clothes properly, for cooking good dinner. And you're doing this before God. I'm giving myself to you as an image of God. And you're saying these words. And then what? And then when you go home or you go to your hotel room, what do? The word becomes flesh. So now I'm consummating the marriage. So wow, this is very holy. This reflects and shows us something of the person of God, a life-giving communion of persons that's unitive. So this is unitive. It's uniting the two. If I'm giving myself completely and you're giving yourself completely and there's a union going on, that's unitive. And it's also life-giving, procreative. Procreative, that doesn't mean that every single time that a person has sex, that they are going to have a baby. That is not God's goal. If he wanted to do that, it'd be possible for somebody to have a baby, and then while they're pregnant, have another baby, and then while they're pregnant, have another baby. But God created the human body, the fertility system, especially in a woman, to be different, so that there are periods of fertility and infertility. And so we're going to measure these periods later on and show how we can say when the woman's fertile, when the woman's not fertile, etc., and how that plays into our natural family planning. But let's say, for example, and we're going to look at briefly, what would happen if I separated the unitive, if this is just about procreative? So then would it be loving? Would it be life-giving? Would it be nourishing when a person rapes somebody? Yeah, they might get pregnant, but was that unitive? No, that was repulsive. That was the exact opposite of unitive. That was disgusting. It was terrible, right? Well, see how we see what happens when we separate the unitive and the procreative. Well, if I can just have sex, she's just an object. Well, what happens when you artificially shut down your reproductive system, because that's what we're going to look at, artificial contraception. That's what it does. It treats your fertility as a disease. And when your fertility is a disease, it's something that I'm blocking this out. And now I can use a woman as an object for getting out my sexual tension. And now, although it starts off with the procreative and cutting off the procreative, it also impacts the unitive. Because how can I say I'm giving myself to you completely when I'm saying, I love you, I give myself, for better or for worse, I do, I give myself to you completely, but not my sperm or not my eggs. Well, that's not completely. That's saying I give it all to you, but not this part. We're going to look first at how a woman's fertility works. Okay, so here we go. Bear with me. My drawings are not to scale. And then here's the vaginal area. And this is the cervix. And these are your ovary. These are your fallopian. We call them F-tubes. Can't pick these up at Home Depot or anything. These F-tubes, right? Anyways. And then this is my uterus. Now, the way the woman's body naturally works, this wall begins to get filled with blood. And it just, develops there. This develops here, and this develops here, right? And when the ovary releases an egg, this would be my little egg, and it's just floating around, and just kind of flying around here, right? Now, let's say a woman has sperm inside of her because she had sex. And so what's going to happen is the sperm will be swimming. Forgive my bad sperm drawing. And then they meet here. Wah! And then there's new life. And then that will look like, one of these dealies. Cells are multiplying. Well, what's going to happen is this new life after conception would implant itself here in this wall of the uterus that's been lined, right? And that's where the baby would begin to grow and develop, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Now, let's say, for example, this person is abstaining and she's ovulating. So the ovulation is when the woman is releasing an egg and the egg is going through the fallopian tubes, but there's no sperm, okay? So this didn't happen. And so what's happening now is this little egg is just going to go out, go out, go out, go out. And then these are going to dissolve. And this is going to dissolve. And then it's just going to bleed. Right? And that's what happens. It just kind of comes out. So that's the way a woman's body naturally works. If there is conception, the newly formed life will implant itself here. If there's not, this will all just go out and start itself next month, right? So what does artificial contraception do? Artificial contraception introduces synthetic estrogen. And so what this synthetic estrogen and progesterone are going to do is they are going to keep your ovary from releasing an egg. That's one of the ways that it works. There's no eggs released. So it tricks your body into thinking that you're pregnant so that it doesn't release an egg. So these hormones are tricking you, are saying, oh, shut down, do not work, you are pregnant. So this is not good. Could you imagine what kind of hormones are entering your body and how much of them are entering your body? And is this safe? I am not pregnant, but my body thinks that I am, so much so that I am not releasing an egg. Do you know how powerful sexual hormones are? Estrogen runs, has a part to do with every part of every woman's body. And that's going to explain some of these side effects. But we're going to get to how else the artificial contraception, especially the pill, works first before we get to the side effects. It also keeps this wall from filling with this blood that's going to line it up where the conception could take place. So this is also gone. And if it's there, it's very thin. And that's why women who are on artificial contraception, their period will really not be heavy anymore. And also, well, that's because there's no wall there that's heavy. And also, sometimes it might not happen at all because this wall might not be there at all. Also, so the first thing it does is no egg is released. So no egg. No egg. The next thing it does is no uterus lining. What else does it do? It also causes tacky mucus. All right, so this cervix has these, like, looks like jaws, right? And it causes the cervix. Normally, when a woman's fertile, when she's ovulating, and like there's time to have a baby, God is so great in his creation that when it's time to have a baby, when a woman's body is ready to like have children, it changes in all shapes and sizes. Things change. She releases special pheromones that make her, I don't know, more attractive. Her proportions from the rear and the top also begin to change in proportion to the waist. She releases a cervical mucus that's very slippery, slimy, that's very good for sperm to swim, and it creates an environment that sperm like to be in, and they just like, they can swim. They get in there, they're already right there. They're swimming so good in this cervical mucus, it's nice and slippery and slimy, right? Now, so those are things, those things happen. And so it's very, very, whenever, a woman's releasing egg, it's very, very good environment for sperm. A woman's very attractive. Hi! All right, it's kind of like a dog. The girl dog is in heat and the other dogs are chasing her. Right? Okay, the same idea. But you might not even recognize that this is happening. So what the artificial contraception does, again, no egg, no lining here, or very, very thin lining, and then also the mucus here becomes very, very, very tacky. I'm not talking about you wearing bowling shoes with blue jeans. I'm talking about tacky as in, so it's very inhospitable for sperm. They get so frustrated because they can't get through, right? Okay, so that's that. Now, occasionally this might happen more often than people realize, sperm do get through this tacky mucus, and an egg is released, and they meet, and there's new life, conception. Congratulations, you're a mother. Beautiful. Or congratulations, sir, you're a father. You've just had a baby. But sadly, and I do mean this is very sad, this might be news to you, and I'm very sorry that I have to be the one to share this with you, but there's new life, and because there's no lining here, as these new life is starting to grow, there's nowhere for it to begin to implant and to begin to be safe and to be nourished and etc. And it just kind of, instead of implanting here, there's nothing for it to implant in, and this new life just kind of gets washed out. Flushed down the toilet, maybe it comes out in your underwear, whatever. But the point is, one of the main, guaranteed side effects, if if you're having sex regularly and you're on artificial contraception, is it's going to cause you to have an abortion. Abortion. Sorry, again, forgive me for I can't spell. Also, it could cause you to be permanently infertile. So, chance, permanent, could say perm, infertile. Because what happens is that these ovaries, they atrophy because you've been on this for so many years, for so long, that you think that's like, that I guess these don't even work anymore, and they just kind of stop working. And so you could just be taking this for a little while, like, oh, I'm in high school, I'm in college, yeah. And then you can't have babies. And there's an increased number of women who can't have babies, even people who haven't taken artificial contraception. It still is an increase. So that's one of the side effects. Also, remember what we said about how artificial contraception works, the synthetic estrogen and progesterone. What does it do? It makes your body think that you're pregnant. So most of the common side effects, the ones that are livable common side effects, include things that would accompany a huge amount of hormones and pregnancy, which would be what? Headaches. What else? Nausea. Again, forgive my spelling. What else? Depression. What else? Although scientists and some doctors are trying to say that no, there's no link between getting fatter and taking the pill, women who are actually taking the pill are claiming that it's causing them to get very fat. We're just going to throw in fatter for the sake of those who are actually taking the pill. They're claiming that it makes them fatter. Okay, so we can only go off people claim. You're like, it's making me fatter. No, it's not. I have scientific evidence that says it doesn't do that. But it's making me fatter too. Okay, you get the point. Also, hairier. Ay, ay, ay. And then here's the real kicker. It causes a decrease in your sexual libido. Libido. Don't want to have any sex anymore. Maybe that's why I got you the pills. We can have more sex and now you don't have sex no more. Okay. Decrease sexual desire. That is a major bummer. Now, here are some of the statistics that are going to blow your mind. Here are some of the side effects that you will not, like, what in the world? Increased. What? Breast cancer. So, you know, the pink ribbon, I support breast cancer, Coleman, whatever, ring a bell, right? So they give money to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood gives out artificial contraception, which causes 5 times as much, some cases 70% increased chance of breast cancer in girls who haven't had a baby within 4 years or they've been on the birth control pill. That's crazy. Why the deuce are you donating money to Planned Parenthood if you are trying to stop breast cancer? They give out pills that cause breast cancer. Okay. Some studies have shown 5 times more likely to get breast cancer. Like I said, if it's been a year before you're going to get pregnant and you've been on the artificial contraception, the chances are 40% more chance of getting breast cancer. If it's been more than 4 years that you've been on the pill and you haven't had your first child, you have a 70% chance greater that you're going to get breast cancer. Okay, also what else? Increased risks of cervical cancer. Again, you have to remember, the hormones are not supposed to be there, and you're injecting so much that your body thinks you're pregnant. Cervical cancer, what else? Increased stroke. What else? Increased heart attack. Okay, let's look at some of the social problems. Well, also, what is the divorce rate amongst couples who are using artificial contraception? The divorce rate amongst couples who are using artificial contraception is 50%, and that's a conservative value. Again, forgive me for being a complete moron when it comes to writing and drawing and where my percent sign goes. All right, 50% increase in divorce. What? This is madness. Who the deuce would take this? Who would prescribe it? This is the first time in human history where doctors in the United States were prescribing medicine to healthy women who are fertile. And now they're giving them medicine to kill their fertility that has all of these other risks. And not only that, they're prescribing a drug which they have no idea when they're not going to take it anymore. That is absolute madness. You are healthy. Let me give you a drug to ruin your fertility, possibly kill it forever, introducing a foreign hormone that is really, really, really bad when you have this amount. And not only that, you're healthy. And it's going to cause your husband to be more likely to treat you as an object. It's going to make other women easily to be cheating with your husband if this is your problem, right? Well, this affects men too. This doesn't just affect women. For women who have children, it says on the little inserts that, you know, things like, don't get pregnant within 6 months of stopping the stopping the birth control pill. So they want you to wait, to stop taking the pill, wait 6 months, and then have a baby. Like, you even know how to do that because you've been on contraception this whole time. And a lot of times people get pregnant on the pill anyways. Well, what's happening? If this is enough female hormone to cause your body to think you're pregnant, shut down your fertility, increase all these breast cancer, cervical cancer, stroke, heart attack, yada yada, make you fatter, make you more depressed, make you more headache, make you want to have sex anymore, drying up all your cervical mucus, keeping your ovary from releasing an egg, keeping this causing abortions. What is it gonna, if you do get pregnant and your child is not aborted, thank you, Lord, for not letting so many evils come out of such an evil, even though you've given us free will and we've done this on our own. This is where we're saying, I want to do this. Give me that pill. All right. What do you think it's going to do to your child, especially if this child is a male? A baby at this age, the chemicals, the hormones are so sensitive. They're so sensitive to the slightest changes. And here I am with this huge, massive dump of synthetic estrogen. What's going to happen? Well, what has happened? Drastic increase in what? Prostate cancer. What? That's madness. How does natural family planning work? Okay, I'm going to begin to explain how natural family planning works. And I kind of hinted at some of this already. So the first thing that I would like for you to associate with fertility is what I'm calling slippery, and then, or slimy, or even better, stretchy. That's the word I was looking for. Stretchy mucus. Stretchy mucus, like when I blow my nose, a little bit. Stretchy mucus. So the cervical crypts will begin to secrete this stretchy, egg whitey mucus. This mucus, it's so stretchy and slimy. It's just like egg whitey, right? So that's a sign of fertility. And this, again, is when the sperm are easily swimming up there. So when there's tacky mucus, what's happening is that the sperm are very difficult. They don't live very long. It's very acidic inside of the uterus, and they die really quickly. Now, in this environment, sperm can live from 3 to 5 days. So this makes sperm 3 to 5 days. Okay, I really messed up. I'm going to put my calendar right here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days. Okay. There. So let's pretend this is a really bad calendar. I am very aware of that. All right, so we'll go day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Okay, and then let's say it's February, all right? Okay, so here's my calendar. Now, also, what else happens around this fertility time? So we know that an egg is released, and it goes, right? So when this egg is released, there's something that happens. In this little space, this follicle, we call that a corpus luteum, and that releases progesterone. And what does progesterone do? It causes, first thing that happens, we know when fertility is around, slippery, stretchy mucus. So this is when we're going to be looking for slippery, stretchy mucus. Also, we're going to be looking for a temperature rise. Progesterone causes the temperature to go up. So we're going to look for temperatures going up. Now, not only that, there's another thing besides the slippery, slimy mucus. This cervical, so if you look here, this cervical box, little cervical jaws, they're lower and they're closer together. I actually did that on purpose. Here, they're higher and they're open more. When a woman is fertile, her cervix kind of comes up, it's softer, and it's open more. This makes it easy for sperm to get in. It's like the gates have been opened. Everybody go, right? So that's what's happening. So the sperm are, wow, we're just all flying in there. Now it's really a race. Now we can really compete. So what's going to happen is, let's say that the egg is released on day 18. So let's say day 18. Yeah, day 18 is about good. Now let's say day 17. Okay, so this is the day the egg is released. All right, so your mucus is going to start to get slippery / stretchy. And so I'm just going to write, so right here we have, you know, menses, like you're bleeding. All right, and now we're starting to have tacky or dry days. We'll call these dry. And now we're starting to get slippery and slippery. Stretchy, 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 and then slippery, slippery, dry, 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 dry. All right, so I know, and then on top of that, you're also, remember I said your temperature is going to rise? Well, before the egg is released from the ovary, what happens? Estrogen causes your temperature to drop. So if you start taking your temperature, okay, temperature's here, temperature's there, temperature's getting lower, 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 and then up here, maybe one there, one there, right? And then all of a sudden, one day, your temperature's up here, whoosh, your temperature's up here, and 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 it kind of stays high. Well, we know from, if I chart this, well, I can be sure. So let's say on day, I don't know, what we had day 7, day 17 is my peak day because this is my biggest slippery, stretchy mucus. And then on, I've got temperatures are low here, and low here, and low here, and low here, and low here. And all of a sudden, they're like high, they spike one day, they spike 2 days, they spike 3 days. Well, I know that now this is my peak day. I want to have a baby. Whoa, my mucus is getting really stretchy and slippery and slimy. Okay, my temperature is kind of low and it's been consistently low. Okay, get ready, call the babysitter because we are going to go out and have a night on the town and make some babies. All right, or it's mucus is kind of slippery. Your temperatures are just looking about right. Oh no, man. Let's cancel the babysitter because, oh, actually, let's go get a babysitter and let's go to the movies and hold hands and then come back home and go to sleep. That's right. That's what's going to happen because you cannot have a baby at this time. So what you do, so the days that you'd want to have sex would be, because if you're trying to avoid, you'd have sex, you can have sex day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7, day 8, day 9, day 10, day 11. And then if you're talking about it and you're like, well, you know, it's okay. Maybe we can talk about our finances. And then you're like, well, yeah, we could afford it. We can, especially the guy is going to be like, he's going to be changing his mind. Like, they, you know, like, oh, I don't know about that. Then, you know, starting to get little fertile days. We've got our fertile days. We're going to call this time period that we have all this SL and these temperature changes. We're going to call that phase 2. We're going to call that fertile time. So if you're going to have a baby, this is the time to do it. And the beautiful thing about natural family planning, we're going to write this, not only, so I'm aware of what's going on of inside of me and inside of your spouse. If you're a man and you're watching this, which I recommend the men watch it, you're aware of the fertility. You're aware when to get pregnant. Peak times. So a lot of times people get a lot of difficulties getting pregnant. Why do they get difficulties getting pregnant? Well, because sometimes the timing is off and you think something's wrong, but really you can check your times. You can check your days. Wow, this will be the best way to get pregnant, right? Also, none of your children will be surprised. Oh, we didn't mean to have you. We were surprised. Like, that's not nice. Like, that's, and that's why one of, you know, and we'll get to the divorce part in a minute. Okay, so anyways. So that's one of the benefits. You can know the peak times when it's to get pregnant. So that's beautiful. So we're going to call this fertile time, fertile time. We're going to call, and this is ovulation is happening. And then we have our pre ovulation, fertility. All these little things that I circled, we'll go and bubble those in. I'm not fertile during this time. So we're going to call this phase one, pre-ovulation infertility. And then all this time afterwards, these dry days, post-ovulation infertility. That means I can be having, if you're trying to avoid pregnancy, you can have sex here, 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 here. Well, as much as you want. And so, if you're trying to avoid pregnancy, you might be avoiding, you know, maybe maximum 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days, most 8 days out of the month. But when you become a pro and you start to get some months under your belt and you see that your wife has a very regular system, well, then you can be like, just give me that chart, girl. Let me look at those data. Let me look at that. Let me get the calculator. Let me calculate these temperature changes. Wow. You're going to be very good at helping your spouse check her temperature. And this is the great thing is that the husband and the wife, they do this together. They discuss. The husband knows what's going on inside of the woman. The woman knows what's going on in the mind of the husband. They're discussing their finances. They're working together. And wow, they're not. Their children aren't, being just surprised. Surprised now. You know, that you're keeping it open. So what's the difference between this and artificial contraception so far? Well, the goal is still the same, but this is different. This is not having sex. You're married. It's okay to have sex. God designed you, taking advantage of the way God designed you. God designed you that you're fertile sometimes and not fertile the other times. It's not a sin to have sex when you're not fertile. You have sex whenever you want. If you're an adult and you're married, right? Especially if you're open to life. And then you're just abstaining from sex during this time. It's not a sin not to have sex. Now, do you have the contraceptive mentality? Are you doing this because you're trying? Like, oh, I'm not going to have to take the pills. Hey, I'm going to beat the system this way. Oh, okay, you need to check your conscience. All right, there's a difference. Now, what else? What are the benefits of natural family planning? Well, guess what? There's no breast cancer. Guess what? There's no cervical cancer. No stroke. No risk of heart attack. All right? You're not treating your body like if it's a disease trying to be, you're bad. Bad eggs. Go back there. I'm going to take these pills and kill you. Right, that's not good. What else? It doesn't cause you to have an abortion, which is terrible. It doesn't cause you to be permanently infertile. In fact, it can help you, especially through programs like the Creighton Method with their NAPRO technology. If you're having difficulty getting pregnant and you're charting and you're doing all these different things, they have even better ways for you to analyze your fertility, but they can help you get fertile. There's programs and things that they can do. No extra headaches. If you have a headache, it's because your husband has a TV too loud or your children are always bothering you. No nausea. If you have nausea, it's because your food and your cooking is not so good. No depression. If you're depressed, it's because you have some other problem. If you're getting fatter, it's because you don't exercise. If you're getting hairier, I don't know why you're getting hairier. Your sexual desire, well, I don't know how sexually desirous you're going to feel, but it's not going to be impacted because you're taking hormones. It's going to be impacted by something else, but not that. Right, so none of these other problems. What else? Divorce. What is the divorce rate amongst couples who are using natural family planning? Because we know it's 50% amongst artificial contraception users. The divorce rate between couples who are using natural family planning is what? In some cases, less than this. 2%. 2%. 50% is like me or you. One of us is going to get a divorce if you're on an artificial contraception. 2% is like there's 100 people in the room. Two of them out of the 100 might get a divorce. And this statistic is even padded a little bit. Why? Because the couples who are using it, some of the couples aren't using it with the right mentality. How are you going to test the people with the right mentality or not? Right. So 2% natural family planning. And why so low? Because now I'm treating my woman with respect. Now I'm not just saying, hey, baby, come over here. I'm going to have sex with you whether you like it or not. No. Now I've got to talk to my wife. Now I've got to go and buy dinner. Now I've got to say, hi, honey, how are you doing? Hi, is everything nice today? Right. She's going to give herself to me and I'm going to give myself back. There's a difference between this and you're like, I wonder if we're going to get pregnant. You're having sex and you're like, oh, in the back of your mind, well, am I going to get pregnant? Or not only that, in the back of your mind, he doesn't even love me, doesn't even talk to me, doesn't even respect me, doesn't even sacrifice for me. And here you're getting in the habit of sacrifice. This 8 days is like Lent. You're just giving it up, right? And so you're taking on other ways to love, or else you'll think, oh, he's only loving me because I'm having sex with him these other days. But no, then you have to be really nice on these days too. It's God's plan. It's God's plan physically. It's God's plan emotionally. It's God's plan spiritually. And it works. You know what the work percent is? This is effective by how much? 99.6% effective. And statistically, they can't have 100%, but it works every time. Your mucus will only be stretchy, slimy, blah, 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 if you're fertile. It always happens. Always. Now, the only time that this is even slightly difficult, or you really feel cheated out of your days, is if you're trying to come off of this and this has damaged your natural cycle in some way. But I can assure you, if you go to a class, they'll really help you out with that. Now, the whole point of me teaching you all of this was to show you the science, to show you a little bit of the theology, to show you a little bit of the background. It's not so that you can start doing this. Yes, I want you to start doing this right now. Stop taking your pills right now. Stop taking artificial contraception. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. But you still need to take a class. This is not meant to be comprehensive. I really fudged here in the calendar somewhere, but the goal was not to be like, this is exactly how you do it. Go and start doing it. The goal of this was so that you will go and look it up for yourself. And if you're just a teenager, so that you will know that you have an option. There's no reason for you to take artificial contraception. But the doctor said I could use it for this, for that. Adding these hormones are not going to actually help you. It's just going to mask the problem that you really have. What you need to do is find out what's wrong with you. Get that fixed. Taking artificial contraception and dumping your body with all these foreign materials is not going to help, and it can have serious side effects, and it's absolutely absurd that people don't know about this. This works. It works. They're happier. They're holier. I think what the problem is that this is free, and the artificial contraception can make somebody some money. Honestly, that's what I personally believe is part of the problem. This is not talked about. This works. I can only say it works. It works so good that if I was trying to, based on what we know about sperm, I could probably determine the sex of my child. What do you mean? Well, because in the sperm, the females, they swim slower, but they live longer. The men, the males, they swim very fast, but they die very fast too. They don't live so long. So if I was starting here, and let's say I'm looking at my chart, and I'm just going to show you how scientific all of this is. If I was needing a girl for some reason, I don't know how that would work, but if for some reason, if it ever necessary, you could, you know, have sex day 12, day 13, day 14, and the girls would be like, taking their time. And the boys would be dead by the time the egg is released. Wow. So if you wanted a boy, you'd wait towards the end of the fertile time because the boys will get there faster and they'll beat the girls to the race. All right. So again, natural family planning is for married couples. If you're not married, don't have sex. If you're not married, it's important that you recognize your body is sacred. You are holy. How are you going to know if somebody's right for you? I've met people, and I'm sure you've met people too, who they've said, oh man, why'd I marry this person? She was not like this when I met her. Or you might even know people who are married to somebody, and they're dating. Let's say that, for example, they're dating, and they're abusive. And they say, why are you with this guy? He's such a jerk. I know, I can't leave him. I don't know. I'm going to tell you what happens. So there is a hormone in the head, in your brain, that is released. This is called oxytocin. Thanks for reminding me, Holy Spirit. Oxytocin is released whenever you have sexual intercourse, whenever there's orgasm, whenever there's this exciting sexual experience, right? And so even when cuddling and hugging and all this stuff, oxytocin acts as glue. So let's say, for example, you know, you meet somebody, you have sex with them, and you're like, oh, it's nothing, right? Well, what happens is this oxytocin, it makes you feel like it's something. And God designed it that way, so that when a man and a woman get married and they're pure and they're virgins when they get married and then they have sex together, wow, they are so bound, they are so united, it's ridiculous. And every time they get into an argument, they have sex or not every time they get in an argument, but you know what I mean? It's like, everything's better, I love you. Like, it's just like the cuddle hormone, right? But what happens is you're doing this with somebody who's just a teenager. You're doing this with some bum you just met or some guy who buys you dinner or gives you a little bit of attention. And now you're stuck emotionally attached to this person. And then it's just heartbreaking. You can't let go of them. And so what happens? Then when you get married and this emotional attachment wears off and you're stuck with this person for the rest of your life because you got in front of everybody and said, until death do us part, so help me God. And then you're like, oh my God, help me please. Right? Why? Because you had premarital actions with this person. Don't you know people who are premaritally active in their sexual activities? There's 80% infidelity rate. 80%. That's ludicrous. So please, stop it for your own good. If your boyfriend or your girlfriend can't aim for purity now, they're practicing sex out of marriage now, what's going to happen when you're married? If you've been having sex out of marriage before and now you're married, why can't I still have sex out of marriage? You're training yourself in infidelity. And guys and girls, if you're looking at a pornography on the internet and you're committing masturbation, although you might think, I'm just looking at a screen, what's happening is that the oxytocin is still being released and now you're attached to the screen and looking at girls only in the screen or going to the strip club. Now you're attached to that. And you know what it's called when you get attached to something you can't stop? It's called an addiction, serious addiction. And it's more addicting even than heroin. All right, what do you need to do? Go to confession. God's grace will assist you. Pray the rosary regularly. Mary will intercede for you. The Holy Spirit will assist you. But I promise you, God has a plan for your sexuality. God has a plan for your family. If you get pregnant and you're following the natural family planning, you can be assured you're doing it God's way. God's grace will be there for you. Good luck. God bless you. God love you. I want what's best for you. You want what's best for me? Pray for me. Again, I highly recommend you take a course on NFP. I'm going to put some links in the information section below. At the end of the video, there'll be some links. Thank you for bearing with me. God bless you and God love you. There is a better way. Say goodbye to the garbage. You don't need your artificial contraception. You don't need all this. You're better than this. You don't need this. For what? To not have sex because your sexual desire is so low? It's absolutely ludicrous. This is the better way. Natural family planning. It's holistic. It's healthy. It's everything. God bless you and God love you. Take care.